Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank, and I beat you to it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah?
Yeah, Reba Haas here from Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And today we have...
You interloper.
Actually, a couple guests now. We have a new guest in the room. First, we have Rick Marshall, Battalion Chief with Rent and Fire. And welcome again, Rick.
Thank you.
You didn't have to wear your whole fire outfit today, though. I wasn't sure why. You got the hat on. You got the boots on. All of that.
Don't ever believe this man. Yeah. Don't believe a man who names you Oleg.
Omar.
Whatever it is.
Omar the dough roller.
The dough roller. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, the other person in the room besides Omar the dough roller is a friend of mine who I affectionately call my Uncle Ricky, but it's Rick Hayes. Say hello, Rick.
Hello.
Do you want to tell us company you're with?
Okay. I'm with National LightNet, which is a company that most people locally are not familiar with. We're just moving into the area.
Yeah.
So we're a telecommunications company. We specialize in broadband, internet connections, multiple services.
Right. So you're going to come in and start lighting up people's fiber optics.
Yes, we are. Our goal is to keep everyone well connected.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, you're here. We're probably not going to get directly into your stuff in this segment, but you're here because you have a big nonprofit fundraising event coming up that's kind of a launch of your company, along with also a really fantastic program that you guys are in support of. So I want to make sure in our final segment today that we get an opportunity to talk about that and get the dates and all that kind of good stuff. Okay.
Right. But I want to know more about this new fire district.
Yes. Yeah. We want to get to that right away. So
Omar the dough roller.
Yes, Rick.
Perfect. This is going to go well.
Yeah. So tell us more about what's part of this whole vote.
So what we have done is we've made a proposal, taken it out to the voters and asking them to evaluate what they want for a level of service and to kind of show them some of these statistics and the facts that we've talked about with our increased response time, increased population, and the fact that we just haven't been able to bring in additional resources to meet the demand and how that's having a significant impact. And so we had the Renton City Council, the Renton City leaders, along with the fire district in East Renton, King County Fire District 25, got together and looked at how to solve some of these problems. And then they also gathered together a citizens advisory committee to look at it as well. And they all came up with this idea that we needed to, probably the best option was to propose a regional fire authority, which is kind of unique, especially for someone like myself who's been 32 years within the city. If this is approved by voters July 1st, it goes into effect, and I'm essentially terminated from the city of Renton, and then I'm rehired by this new entity, this fire authority. And really what it's designed to do is to create a different funding mechanism, and yes, at the end of the day, we're asking property owners to pay more than what they're currently paying for emergencies, fire and emergency services. And we try and make that really clear up front. We want to be very honest. We don't want anybody getting their statement next, January and saying, I never knew. So, the average homeowner is going to be asked to pay somewhere between $10 and $20 a month when everything all kind of settles out with this. But for that, it's going to allow us in Renton to build a new fire station in the Kennedale area that adds that capacity. And then it's going to allow us to staff full-time an aid car in the south end up at Station 13 on Benson Hill.
Is that where you have a half?
That's when I said the half. Exactly.
Okay.
and we just don't have the funding to keep that in service. And then when it's not in service, all we have is a fire engine. We've got a high number of EMS calls up there. And every time that fire engine goes on an EMS call, it's not available to go on any other call, including fires. And so it's a longer response for other EMS.
Yeah, there's a major catch 22 going on all around. Well, so for me, as a property owner, I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, I'm going to be paying a little bit more on my property taxes, but I also look at what could happen if we don't have this, right? So there's potential, personal issues that could come up where you don't have someone there when you need them. But the other side that I think was brought up was the potential of insurance rates starting to be impacted for property owners as well.
Right. So there's a Survey and Rating Bureau that rates fire departments and their ability to provide fire protection to the community that they serve. And what we're seeing every time we have these strains on our capacity, mm-hmm. and our ability to respond drops down, or our ability to deliver certain levels of service drop, that affects that rating. Mm-hmm. So it is certainly conceivable that you know, we try and be really careful because we don't want to present it as a scare tactic in any way at all. But it's just the reality that with the challenges that we face, that we're seeing our rating slip away. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it could be very likely that would then increase, the number would increase, which impacts property owners and businesses and the right. amount that they pay for fire insurance.
Well, I know for me, I would much rather fund what helps provide some other really good jobs locally than an insurance company. Frankly, I mean, that's kind of how I personally feel about it.
Well, absolutely.
Because I don't have any control over those guys.
Well, this is one of those things, too, that, you know, that we're talking about response times and mm-hmm. and how you said 1 minute can affect your
10%.
Outcomes. 7 to 10%, which, you know, even just me sitting here listening to that statistic, I was like, wow, that's a huge statistic.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody that's sitting in a house dialing 911, you know, then you say, hey, are you willing to pay this?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a different answer.
Well, and one of the challenges that I see personally, and I understand it on one point, because as firefighters, we tend to think of ourselves as, Superman. Nothing's ever bad is going to happen to us. I think that's generally the feeling of most people in the community. But the reality is for us, just in our area that we serve, is that we ran just a little under 15,000 calls last year. And in each one of those calls, those people never woke up in the morning thinking, oh, I'm going to have to call 911 and have the fire department respond.
Of course, yeah.
And so every year that goes by that you don't call because you don't have an emergency, it's very easy for the perception to be that you don't need the service, or mm-hmm. that the service level is good enough, why pay more?
Yeah. And I mean, that's an average of 41 calls
That's
a day.
Exactly what it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think about, I'm sorry, but I have real estate people I talk to all the time about sales and even just business owners. Like, how do you market? How do you do all these things? I know people who won't make 41 phone calls a day. I can't even imagine doing what you guys are doing, which is having to rush to some emergency and respond. Most people can't even function at that level.
Yeah, and the reality is, and again, that frustration that comes, on a personal level, and I don't blame it, but and kind of like you were saying, Eric, when you're the one calling, though,
mm-hmm.
it takes an unbelievable amount of time. You know, it just seems like it takes forever for the firefighters to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we do get there, they're often very upset with us because it took us so long to get there.
Oh, I'm sure the response is like, what took
you? What took you so long is, unfortunately for us, that's why we're firefighters. We want to help people. That's the reality.
That's the nature. Yeah.
And so, don't think for a second when we're stuck in traffic, when it's taking that long response, mm-hmm. Our stress level goes up. Immensely with that as well. And then you get there and you're here and it's very defeating. It's very frustrating for us.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I can just tell you, I know I'm a supporter of the measure itself, and I hope it passes, and I hope the people listening to this will see that there's some definite value to what they're going to be getting out of this. And we're not the only area. You know, when I brought this up to the friend whose place I just came from, they mentioned that like up in the Edmonds area, they did something very similar to this recently.
There's currently 9 different regional fire authorities in Washington alone. This isn't a new concept.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why I want to make sure we point that out, that this is not new, it's been needed.
Yes, and it's well established, and it's really been proven to be a successful model for managing fire and emergency services in the areas mm-hmm. that they're protecting. And another thing that I wanted to bring up that I know you'd mentioned to me earlier is that, hey, I was driving through, I think, Kent. And
I was in South Kent.
And it's important to note that there are, at least in that area and kind of touching on her, 3 Proposition 1. So there's the Kent Regional Fire Authority, which formed a little over 5 years ago, that's going for a reauthorization of part of this funding that we're looking at, which is a fire benefit charge. And every 6 years, you've got to go back to the voters and ask again for them to approve that. And so the Kent is doing that, and that's their Proposition 1 that covers their area.
Okay.
And then Eastside Fire, which is in the Issaquah area, East Renton area, they're also trying to form a regional fire authority, and they have a Proposition 1. So depending on where you live and see the sign, it's the same thing, only it's for
just for your particular area. Your voting region.
Yeah,
okay, got it. Mm-hmm. So FD25, though, where all does it cover? Because you mentioned calls to Tukwila.
Oh, so King County Fire District 25 is a small fire district that's in the east of Renton, and that's one of the they currently contract for fire service with the city of Renton,
okay,
and we provide that as the city. And so the proposal would be to join King County Fire District 25 with the city of Renton's fire department into the regional fire authority. And that would cover the current boundaries of the city of Renton and then this small fire district just to the east of Renton up in the Briarwood area.
Okay, got it.
Got it.
Excellent. All right, so did you have a question?
No, I'm just, I'm still, no, I'm fascinated by this. I'm in favor of it. I think it makes sense. It's logical. If we can do anything to improve those response times, that's really probably one of the crown jewels statistics that we have in our region of being probably, what do they say, one of the best places in the world to have a heart attack, honestly.
Right.
You know, because our responses are so good and our firefighters are so good.
If they start going further out, we won't maintain
that. Yeah, exactly. So we really, really want to maintain that world-class standard.
Well, and I want people to understand that, you know, just because we have new construction going on right now and we have come back out of a recession, we haven't gotten to the same level of services that we need in most of the city areas. I mean, this is not just a Renton or Tukwila or Kent or, you know, specific issue. I mean, it's still all around the region, these kinds of issues that are coming up.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to try these new ways to get the funding you guys need, because we have so many restrictions. And I won't get on my soapbox about why some of that is. But anyway, okay. So any other specific details that you think we should know about?
Just probably real quickly, important to note that we are funded through property tax, and there was an initiative that was passed several years ago that, that prevented us from
increasing.
Yeah. And
that's maybe we'll just touch on that when we come back after this quick little break. Open House with Team Reba.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.